Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. With your host, Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves live. At all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Well, good evening. What's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Poetic Energy, coming to you live here on the Poetic Energy Radio Show. I am very honored tonight that we have a very special guest coming through, coming from all the way from Florida, and we are highly anticipating his arrival in the building. You know, he's just a phenomenal spoken word artist who really has really been touching the world by storm with his voice and his ability to deliver, you know, spoken word in such a way where it affects you emotionally and spiritually. And I can't wait till he arrives in the building because I really can't wait to introduce him properly this evening. But while we're waiting for him to arrive on the scene, we are definitely going to get you started with a few of some little music here, and then we'll come back and hopefully he'll be in the building by that time, and we can get on with our candid interview with our special guest for the evening. I know so many people will say that they were going to come through and, you know, spread some love and show some love. But his brother, he is a frequent voice here on the Poetic Energy Radio Show. We so appreciate him always showing his love and just really just kind of just being a voice here on the Poetic Energy Radio Show. Oh, okay. I see he has arrived in the building, so we will just go right ahead and give him his proper introduction. Tonight's featured guest, it's just my honor to have him here on the show. His name is David Cross, a.k.a. DC, the Voice of Reason. He is originally from the Show Me State, my original hometown, but he currently resides in Miami, Florida. He is touching the world by storm, booking venues all across the globe, and being on the scene for 5 years as a much-sought-after spoken word artist has landed him a highly acclaimed award as the top Hot 1 poet of the year, and he was unanimously selected by all the 6 judges to receive this high honor. And one of the things that I love what he says is that he lives by these personal declarations. The promises of God are always yes and amen, and to whom much is given, much is required. Please help me welcome to the show Mr. David Crouch, a.k.a. the Voice of Reason. David, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
David, welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
I'm all right, and yourself?
Glad to have you finally here on the Poetic Energy Radio Show. It's just, you know, I have been highly anticipating your arrival because, I have so many questions for you,
mm-hmm.
and I know so many people know you already,
yeah.
but those who don't know will get to know more about you this evening.
Right.
Oh, wow. I'm all choked up over here. We're just going to get the interview started because I know people are starting to come in the chat room and fill up the place here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start off by asking you, you know, first, you know, for those who don't know about David Cross, can you tell us a little bit about who that man is?
Well, let's see. I happen to be a preacher's son. My grandfather was a pastor of the church, so I'm a twin. And like I said, I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and right now I reside in Miami. I've always been a good writer. I was a writer in college, and it kind of trickled over into spoken word. One of my best friends took me to my first poetry venue about 10 years ago, and I was hooked. But I never thought that I was capable. I never thought I was capable of actually doing it until I came to Miami and I did my first poetry spot on air. And when I did it, I mean, pretty much the rest is history. After that, I got invited back to the venue again, and then I got invited again, and pretty much the rest is history, and I just started writing more and more and more, and it just became addictive, and I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do research on it so that I can become really good at it. So I did my research and watched other poets, and then I got favorites from poets that are like my favorites, and I said, there's power in words. So the platform of poetry became something that I love because it's like biblical because, you know, there's life and death in a tongue. So after that, I said, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to have integrity with my words. I don't want to do it to just be seen and to be cute and to be popular. I wanted to do it and be effective. So,
absolutely.
So what happened was I started really looking at stuff that I wrote down, and I'm like, okay, what am I saying? If I'm going to say something, I want to have a message. I want it to have some meaning. I want it to be effective. So I started doing it and taking it seriously after that, and that's pretty much how DC The Voice of Reason came. I used to post a lot of quotes on Facebook, and this lady said, and 1 week I didn't do it, and she said, Dale, what happened to your words? I haven't really heard you seen on Facebook in a while. You know, you always was that voice of reason. And when she said that, it stuck. So that's where my stage name came from. And I just took it and ran with it. Yeah, so.
That's most appropriate, too, because you are a voice of reason. And just going back quickly to something you just said, I knew it was something about your delivery. I did not know that you were a preacher's son.
Yeah, I was a preacher's son. Now I'm going to say this with that. Although I am a preacher's son, and I've been dubbed the preaching poet and all this stuff, I don't put myself in a box. You know, I talk about different subject matters. I don't do a lot of erotic poetry because, to me, it's not as edifying because there's so many ways you can talk about sex, and it's more entertaining than edifying. But I've written a few erotic pieces, but mostly of my pieces deal with the youth, deal with struggle, deal with adversity. And my rule of thumb, whenever I do a piece, I never exploit a problem or an issue without making a solution to it. So that's my rule of thumb.
Oh, I love that. You know, so many there are so many poets out there who do not write with a purpose in mind. And
right.
It's just wonderful that you said that that those are some of the reasons behind your writing poetry.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people that I even see on the Facebook, environment that really, really follow you and they really, embraces your work as an artist. What do you say to people when they, you know, they render you praise because it's obviously something that is so deserving of you, but how do you stay humble, with getting all the praise that you get as an artist?
You know, my rule of thumb, because I have a phrase for everything, my rule of thumb for that is this. Once you get complacent, you leave no room for improvement. And me, I always consider what God given me impending stage. That means it's in a process of getting better each and every day. If I don't have a growth spurt every day, it hinders where he's trying to take me. And my thing is, every poem is like my child. I try to make the next one better or more powerful than the next one. And it's not by choice. My thing is, I have a real big thing on being effective. And I don't have half-empty thinking. I have half-full thinking. Because I don't trip off what I don't have more than what I do have. Because what I don't have, eventually what I don't have, God go give it to me. You know what I'm saying? So I always incorporate half-full thinking in how I view things. And one thing I love about poets, period, is the fact that a lot of poets are very wise and they have a very insightful way of looking at life, period. That's another reason why I love poets and poetry, period. Now, with the accolades of saying that I'm this and I'm that, you know, what I write is not even my words. These are God's words. I'm just a narrator. You know, that's how I view it. You know, I love the love from other poets, don't get me wrong, but it's not me, it's God. You know, and I don't mean to be cliche and just talk about God through the whole interview, but God is the one that gave me these words, because there's no way David Crouch, my government name, David Crouch, could ever write stuff that I write with my own thinking. It's impossible. So sometimes when I trip off what I say or stuff in my poem, I'll be like, what did that come from? Sometimes I don't believe that I even said it, but it just lets me know that poetry was definitely my purpose on being here and to be effective with it and take it as far as I can do, as far as I can go with it, basically. You know.
With that being said, do you consider it some way of being some form of ministry in so many ways?
You know what? That's a good question. Poetry is definitely a ministry, period, because, like I said, there's life and death in the tongue. When you hear a poem, I used to wonder why people go to poetry venues. Like, why do people go to poetry sets every Friday or every week or whatever? And the reason being is because people want to be edified. People want, you know, listening to poetry and doing poetry, as a lot of poets say, it's therapeutic. And it's like when you can say something that's profound or relevant to their life, it makes them feel at home. It makes me feel like, well, shoot, if DC went through it, then I'm okay then. I'm not the only one. And if he got through it, I can get through it. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of poets don't understand their responsibility, because when you speak words into the atmosphere, you have the power to change the whole climate of a room just by what you say.
Oh,
So you got to have integrity with your words, and a lot of them don't. They just do it to be cute, and ain't nothing wrong with using metaphors and this and the other, but what's your purpose behind it? Like, if it ain't to be clever or to have people think and use a brain and go spiritually with it, it kind of defeats the purpose of being used. That's just my thing.
All right. Yeah. I love that you say that, because so many people don't know how effective their words are. Words, period, you know, whether you're delivering poetry, whether you're preaching, whether you're teaching, when you're speaking, you are affecting your listeners, whether it be in a good way or a bad way. And I so agree with you that it's very important that we deliver our words in such a way, because you never know who's sitting in the audience.
Absolutely.
Listening to your words, going through something, and the very things that they're going through, your words is, you know, bringing about a result or causing them to really think and make a change in their own life. So, you know, this poetry thing is very effective in our lives. And I do also consider it as a form of ministry, because I've heard people say that poetry is therapeutic to them, you know, even to the poets themselves. You know, usually poets, we write from things that we're experiencing in our own lives or we are observing in other lives, and we come from a deep place. And I think, too, that it's like a built-in revelation that we have
that comes
from God.
Yeah.
I don't know that everyone who has the gift of writing poetry understands the full responsibility around poetry and, you know, and what that tool is in our everyday lives.
You're right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the things that really fascinates me about you, I know oftentimes when you come onto the show, and it may seem to other people that we are over-exaggerating the praise, but it's just, this is truly the way you affect people in such a way that, you know, if you come deep within a person's soul and heart, and it moves you in a way where you can't help but, you know, utter words of excitement and praise to you because, you know, honoring the gift that God has in you. Because, you know, I know personally that is a gift that comes to you, that comes from God, that he's imparted into your life, and it definitely does have a purpose because, you know, it's been a number of times, like, you know, when I didn't feel like doing the show, and here DC, that's the reason, comes on and just says something that just lifts my spirit. So, I need you to know that you have affected me in that way.
Wow.
In so many ways. Of course, you know, I wouldn't say it at that moment because we're doing a show, but you need to know that how effective you are with touching people with your words. And it's okay for, you know, even the Bible talks about us praising, you know, being able to praise others. We should allow others to praise you because that keeps you humble, first of all. But it's just give honor where honor is due. And I feel that you are in a position where, you know, you should be honored as a person because you are using your voice in such a positive way.
Wow. Well, you know, that is truly a blessing because a lot of you blog talk show hosts, you know, really keep this movement alive. And we so appreciate and respect your movement and what you're doing. I mean, that's why so many of us come to your shows, like, on a consistency every week. But this poet said something I'll never forget. One of my fellow poets here in Miami, he said, a lot of people don't come to hear you. They come to feel you because they can hear you on a CD. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They can hear you. They can hear you outside, or they can hear you from a tape or the archives. But they want to feel you. They want to connect. Mm. They want us as poets to bring them to the place where we went to when we wrote the piece or whatever poem we're doing. So when he said that, I thought that was extremely profound, and it made so much sense. So the one thing about me is I'm not so prideful and so big and so this about poetry that I don't have room enough to learn. Because I feel like, you know, every situation can be a learning experience, and I learn so much from listening to other poets and so much from hearing certain words or terminologies or, you know, because I think the most effective poet is a poet that knows how to manipulate words to strike a nerve. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Because poetry is basically word manipulation. Because I can say something, to you, and you'll be like, huh? Or I can say something to you, and you'll be like, wow, just by how I manipulate what I say. And if you become a master of that and you let God use that pen, you become extremely powerful. But a lot of people don't understand their power. But here's the thing with power. With power comes great responsibility. So you can't just be saying anything into people's atmosphere because you can have them even more depressed than they were when they heard you. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be real careful with what you say and what you spew out in the atmosphere. That's all.
Absolutely. Now, who are your biggest, you know, everybody, you know that poets write from, you know, a lot of poets write from painful places or you know, sometimes spiritual places, you know, it depends on what frame of mind that they're in. But who are some of your biggest supporters in your day-to-day life with just, you know, you as an individual that supports you in the work that you do?
Oh, my God. I got so many friends and people here in Miami. My daughter is one of my biggest fans. My twin brother is one of my biggest fans. My mom is. A lot of people, it's funny because a lot of my family really didn't know that I did poetry until I got here in Miami. But they always knew that I was a good writer. It's like my mother said, my son is an amazing writer because I wrote for the for the black newspaper in my college. I was always an amazing writer, had a good way with words and big vocabulary, but when I found out what poetry was, I said, this is something that I could take and run with and be effective with. But if I'm not going to be effective with it, I'm not going to play with it. Because, you know, poetry is like it unnerves me when people just do it, and they do it just to be cute or to be seen, or they don't understand the power, the platform, or what they're using. So whenever I do it, you know, I want to, you know, lead by example. So if that's what I want, I got to be example to what I want. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I do it. But my family are like are very huge supporters of what I do.
That's great to hear, because a lot of people don't understand, don't have a great support system. Anything that you're involved in is good to have those that's closely around you to support you in your efforts. And, you know, that's why I always like to ask that question, because not everybody have a great support system. So
right,
they have
right.
to lean on other poets. They have to lean on other artists out there, because, you know, in some there are a lot of babes with, you know, for lack of having a better word to say, there are a lot of babes in poetry, and they are so afraid and shy to really begin sharing their voice because they don't have a support system at home, but they also shy away from wanting to share their voice because people are so critical out there in the poetry world, and, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, go to people to ask them for advice or help or to get them to comment. I find a lot of poets wanting somebody to help them and you know, and encourage them to go to the next level in their writing skills. Do you, I know I've noticed a lot of people that have admired you and asked you for your advice. What is your biggest advice that you give to poets beginning in writing? What are some of the things that you tell them to encourage them to write?
I always say with that, that's a very good question too, because my thing is I don't want to create another DC Voice of Reason, because I don't believe, you know, because my phrase, another phrase that I have with that is, you come into this world an original, so you don't want to die a carbon copy. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is with that, I tell people to find what compels them to want to even write in the first place. If it's your child, if it's being abused, if it's being bullied, if it's been somebody told you wasn't going to be nothing, if it's a conspiracy, if it's anything in life that unnerves you. And instead of being a part of the complainers, be a part of the solution part of it. So my thing is, because you can write something that people can hear that could be the solution to whatever problem you're complaining about. So my thing is, I always tell poets, look, write something that's edifying, that people are going to get something from, not something that's entertaining. If you want to be entertaining, be an actor, be an actress, you know, do commercials. But poetry is a platform that people come to be edified from. It's, like I said, it's a ministry, and I'll never back down in saying anything otherwise than that, because poetry, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Absolutely. Now, with that just being said, you know, do you ever see yourself getting into, because poetry certainly is a platform and it can open up a lot of doors for other things to, or other opportunities to open up in your life. Do you ever see yourself getting into any form of stage presence or as far as acting or theater or anything like that?
That's another good question. I've been asked that. I've had stuff presented to me regarding that. It's a few people here in Miami that I've been connecting with, so, you know, you never know. I'll kind of see what God wants me to take that, or if that's going to happen or not. But it's a lot of stuff that I got in the works here in Miami, you know, as far as the implementing poetry in the high school here that I'm trying to do next year, because I hooked up with a few principals here that I'm going to do some work in the schools with, and I'm already a part of a poetic team here in Miami called Speak, that I'm a house poet every Friday here in Miami. Then I'm trying to eventually get a group of teenagers to do some traveling. I want to do some poetry workshops here. It's a lot of stuff I want to do regarding that, because I see the resurgence of poetry coming back, and it's coming back strong. So I really want to take advantage of that, and I really want it, people that's going to do it and do it right. They ain't got to do it like DC, but as long as you do it right, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of stuff having to work with that, yeah.
All right. Well, you know what, with that being said, can you actually see you turning your passion for poetry into a paycheck for you? I mean, because a lot of people, there are a lot of, you know, well-acclaimed spoken word artists going across the globe, and they are being paid to go to functions. And do you ever see yourself really kind of accepting monetary compensation to be included in different venues if the opportunity ever came to you?
You know, it's so funny you say that, because a lot of my friends and family have been come at me with that, and I kind of dodged that question at first because I was so into the art form, and I didn't really care if I got paid with it or not, and it's still not a real big deal for me, but eventually I think it is, because God is putting me in line for that to happen right now, because I got a few things in the works, and I really don't want to discuss it until I get it all together, but it's going to happen, because, you know, your talent or your purpose will feed you. I mean, that's biblical. So eventually, it's going to happen. You know, I got a book that I'm in the process of writing, and I'm going to finally break down and do this CD that's kind of been in demand that I'm in the process of doing right now, and I'm going to get back with you once I finish with that. So it's a lot of stuff in the works that I'm doing, and I'm continuously writing, because all of this is nothing if it hinders me writing more poetry. It kind of defeats the purpose. So I don't want to get so overwhelmed with all of this stuff, all this extra stuff, and it hinders my writing. So I make sure I write every day at some point in the day. So that's my main thing.
Is it difficult for you to juggle your personal life and your work life and then the poetry life? Because I find, you know, in talking to so many other poets, you know, some of them work full-time jobs, and, you know, and they have families that they need to raise, and you know, and they often say that it's a struggle for them. Do you have that same issue, or?
Yeah, I mean, I have that issue, because I work a lot, you know, at my job, and I've been invited to so many places that I've had to unfortunately turn down because of, you know, work schedule and doing so many different things, but eventually I'm gonna get it together. You know, I'm a prayer warrior, I'm a faster, and eventually God will give me the right formula to make everything work out the way it should. You know what I'm saying? So I just gotta be patient and, you know, stay prayed up and just go to God for it, because man can't really help me get that together. That's a God thing. So what I'm going to do is just, you know, keep praying, and finally God will give me the right formula that it's going to take to make this happen, to really do this and to really travel with it, because that's my passion.
All right. I love that you're saying that. It's because, you know, when I first heard you share your voice on the show, I knew within my spirit that there was something much more different about you as an individual. And you just said it's about praying and fasting. All of those are elements that really enhances whatever gift God has for you, because, you know, you're staying in tune with, you know, the energy of God, you know, working in you. And I so love that. I knew it.
You know, here's my thing about this. Like, I never forget when you have the contest, and it's funny how God works, because I was at home and I saw you doing a contest. I'm like, let me enter this, because I've never entered a poetry contest in my life, never. I said, well, let me see what it's about. So I got on there, And I heard some of the poets, and boy, they was coming hard. I was like, whoa, these poets are coming. So I said, well, let me do one of my poems. And I think that was one of my first or second times ever being on your show, I think. And I did it, and you was like, oh, my God, that was amazing. But, you know, you did that to everybody, so I didn't think mine really stood out because you was giving love to everybody. So a few days passed because you were talking, well, I'm going to announce the winner in a few days or next week. And Katrina, the poet from Barbados, hit me up on Facebook, and she said, congratulations. I'm like, congratulations? For what? Because I wasn't paying attention to who won, or I wasn't on that show. I think I missed the next show. So she was like, you won first place. I'm like, what? So I went to the archive. I was like, oh, my God, are you for real? I couldn't believe it. Because my thing is this. I'm not saying that I'm not a good poet, but my thing is there are so many poets that are amazing. And to see that I won out of those amazing poets, it's like, it's a blessing, it's humbling, I was like at a loss of words. I was like, and I'm going to say this on air because I ain't no punk, I was in tears because it made me feel that, it made me feel that my work was not in vain. You know what I'm saying? So it really made me say, God, because God and my family told me, David, you are good. I'm like, well, I'm all right. I'm still trying to get better. They're like, no, David, you're good. But, you know, if you don't believe it, you can't really expect anybody else to. So I started believing in myself and practicing on my delivery and what I said and how I said it. And that's how it came out. Y'all heard it. And To vote me unanimously, it was such a humbling, beautiful experience. I couldn't even put it to words, you know?
Wow. It was, we had a lot of wonderful poets that evening. But I purposely had judges that people didn't know about because I found that people were trying to influence where it wasn't going to have any type of influence contacting us. And that's why specifically I felt like I was led to do it in that manner. And when the other judges said, this DC, the voice of reason, is it. And then the next person said, this DC, the voice of reason, is it. That's pretty much how it went down. I was like, you know, and they all messaged me at the same, back to back saying, DC, the voice of reason is number one. DC, and I was like, oh, my God, is he going to believe it? That means that it was in divine order for that to happen to you, which leads me kind of to my next question. So many poets have expressed their non-interest in being rewarded by their work, and some even had, just kind of some, words about the event that we were hosting. But the reason why I chose to do that, it was because I feel like people should be rewarded for the things, and it's okay. God gives us that that privilege to be able to appreciate and honor others for their work, and it's a good feeling to a person to know that what they are doing is effective in such a way that people want to honor you for it or award you for that work. I think that a lot of poets miss the point that it's not about a popularity thing. Well, I guess it depends on who you're coming from. But for me, it wasn't about having a lot of people on my show that day. This is something that I truly wanted to do from my heart. And we have so many people approaching our show. You know, we've had people donate some things to our show. And, we have in some way give back, because that's how you give back into the universe and you encourage. It's a form of encouraging people who voice to keep on going and sharing that voice. And that's one of the important things about being poetry. Like you said, and you are that type of person that your words need to keep funneling and reaching people here, reaching people there because it is somebody that needs to hear what you have to say and in such a way where it's affecting their life for better. You know what I mean? It's just, and and awarding you, encouraging you to keep on doing that because you're on the right path.
Mhm. Yeah, I mean, you are so right with that. I mean, accolades is a good thing, you know, but you got to realize, you know, this poetry thing is bigger than us. It's bigger than you. So you can't get so consumed in what you do instead of, you know, using God for what he wants you to do. You know, I said something a few weeks ago that was powerful to a lot of the poets while do poetry here in Miami. I said, poetry is not what I am, it's what I do.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to let that marinate, because a lot of people are like, I am poetry, and that's cool, but you're not poetry. God is poetry because he spoke you up. So you can't be poetry. Poetry is what you do. That's what you're being used to do. So, I mean, you know, once you allow that ego to kick in, then, you know, then it's not about God using you, it's about you. And my thing, the words that I use for ego is, when you see your ego, you ease God out. That's what an ego is. You know what I'm saying? And so my thing is that, you know, this is not about you. You know, poetry is a form of a resource that God uses you for. That's why whenever I do poetry, I always say, you know, God used me. I even said in my poetry, God used me to do this. You know, when I wrote To Whom It May Concern, that's one of my favorite pieces, my newest piece I've ever written, that a lot of people love for when I do every Friday in my poetry spot, because it's the epitome of why I do poetry and why I love it so much. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but you've got to understand, this poetry thing is bigger than us. So.
Absolutely. I so agree with you, because It's just a great gift to have. Not everybody has it, but we that do have it, we certainly have to know what to do with it.
Absolutely,
you know,
right, exactly.
To touch the world in a special kind of way, and
right.
You certainly do that, my friend. You just kind of passed us by so quickly. It's just like I haven't, you know. Not enough time to talk to DC, and I can't wait to actually, come, you know, be able to come to one of your venues
I noticed you hit Tasha on a Facebook, because you know I'm supposed to be doing an event with her in New Orleans with Yayo, and
that's
gonna be bananas. It's gonna be me, Yayo, and Tasha, because Tasha's being honored for an award in New Orleans, and she invited me to come. And I'm coming on, I think it's July the 23rd. July 23rd. So I am really looking forward to that, because that's going to be a real big thing for New Orleans. I think that it's a center for the kids there that they're opening up in New Orleans, and I'm going to be a part of. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, I love that. See, you know, you just don't know where opportunities, where it's going to take you. I do remember, you know, a lot of people I correspond with, I kind of remember what I do on, you know, with corresponding with people, but I don't always get the names right, but I know what you're talking about. I think I contacted her today because she invited me to an event.
Yeah.
I think I told her if I'm unable to name it, that I certainly want to purchase
a
ticket.
That's that event. Me and Yo-Yo have been invited. She personally invited me and Yo-Yo to come out. So we're flying out to support her and her group, and we're going to do some poetry there and speak to a lot of the youth and network and do some things down there. And, you know, so it's going to be a real interesting event that we're looking forward to, you know.
Oh, great. That is so great. You know what? You never know. I might be able to come. I just might come just for on my calendar, but you know that's what I do. If I can't come to an event, I always, you know, purchase a ticket for somebody or something. If you know, just to support in some kind of way.
Right.
The first company was to be among the dearest. Okay. I was reading something that was being said in the chat room, but DC has just been just a wonderful interview with you, and I know that I want to, especially with some of the new things that we have coming up as far as the way we interview people, And I definitely look forward to when you, have your come out with your projects and your, especially one of your CDs, because I can just see the CD already.
The CD I'm coming out with is gonna be dangerous. I mean, how it's being made and how it's gonna be dangerous. It's gonna be so different from what a lot of people are doing. So I'm really excited about that. So it's gonna be interesting.
Wow. Yeah, I can't wait. Now you're brand water, and I'm getting ready.
But this is what I'm going to do. As soon as it hits and drops, I'm going to let you know, and then I'm going to, play on your show. You're going to be the first show I bring it to. As soon as it hits.
I might interview you live. I may have to do that. I'm serious. You never know. I'll just leave it at that. You never know, because I got a few things up my sleeve. But you know what? I know a lot of people in the chat room know you, but all of our listeners, and I'm sure we get a lot of repeat people that come through our archives a lot. So we want to let the people know how they can connect with DC, the Voice of Reason. Can you tell the people, please?
Well, you can find me on Facebook, David Crowdspace, DC, the Voice of Reason, all together. And on Twitter, I am DC, the Voice on Twitter. So either one of those you can find me on. And, I'm one of your million friends, so you can find me on one of your friends list. So I'm definitely on there. So, I'm on there.
Okay, we have 3 more minutes remaining in the show. It's a second. Give us some last parting encouraging words to the poetic world out here, D.C., straight from you, because I know you got something.
Okay. All right, well, one thing I want to say is poets, whoever's listening, in order to be an effective poet, you got to know who you are, first of all, and know who you belong to. Because if you don't know who you are, who you belong to, you can never be effective how you're supposed to be effective. And don't let nobody tell you what you can and cannot do. Because how are you going to believe somebody that never created you over the God that did create you? So you got to believe in who you are and know who you are in God, and continue to write edifying words that are going to change the climate of an atmosphere. Not mess it up, but change it for the better. Because you're not a poet for nothing, because everybody is called, but only a few are chosen. And that's to do anything. And that's to be a poet. That's to be a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, whatever. Everybody can't do those things effectively. So whatever God used you for, you need to take that thing and run with it and do some research and cultivate your craft. Don't just be comfortable at where you at. Always aspire to get better, because even though people say this and this about me, I always know in my heart and soul that I can be better. So, that's the last words of wisdom that I have.
With that being said, we so appreciate you and thank you, DC, the Voice of Reason. You are definitely a voice of reason and just an amazing person and talented brother. We so appreciate you coming here as our featured guest here on the Poetic End You radio show. You are always welcome to come here and fellowship with us. And with that being said, God bless. I hear the Blog Talk Radio 60 seconds. So we want to just say God bless you. Continue on your journey, brother, because I know that you are going to a higher place. Everywhere you go, you're going to definitely be reaching a lot of people, in a great way. So we so look forward to your projects, upcoming projects, and please keep us posted with all of that. With that being said, I'd like to thank everybody that tuned in tonight and joined in the chat room, and all our global listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Poetic Energy Radio Show with our featured guest, Mr. David Crouch, a.k.a. DC, the Voice of Reason. Thank you so much. God bless you, and we're going to send you out jazzy tonight. Good night, DC. Have a great evening.
Good night, and thank all you poets, and I love y'all.
All right. Good night, all.